26 past 7, do you have any idea how many Aboriginal languages there are in Australia today? What would your guess be? A dozen? A few dozen? Several thousand? A few hundred? I don't know. I can tell you the answer, though. Put you out of your misery. The answer is 145, but here's the kicker. 110 are listed as critically endangered. So there might only be 35 pretty soon. Still, there are an estimated 50,000 people who still count one of them as their mother tongue. And today, it happens to be International Mother Language Day. So there you go. We're going to take that opportunity to discuss Australia's Indigenous languages. And just to note, this segment might contain some samples of voices from Indigenous people who've passed away. To do this, though, I'm joined by Jeannie Bell, a linguist, a lecturer at the Bachelor Institute of Indigenous Tertiary Education, currently a PhD student at the ANU in Canberra. Jeannie, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. That's all right.
Who's counting in Indigenous languages as their mother tongue? Can you characterise these people for us?
Well, I think that of the languages that are still relatively strong in Australia, the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander languages, people who are still speaking the language as their first language certainly would refer to it as their mother tongue. And also there are other people who are reviving and strengthening their languages again because they are highly endangered. And for a few decades now, we've had a big movement in Australia and as it is in other countries like North America and New Zealand, where people are trying really hard to keep the language alive. And that may be in situations where there might be a few speakers of the language, but it could also be in situations where there aren't any speakers, but you might have some information about the language. But primarily, you know, people who use the language as their first language.
I mean, the movement to revive it is important, but in the case of the critically endangered ones, the 110 or so of them, is it going to be a case of too little too late if there's not a critical mass of speakers?
Well, that certainly is the case theoretically, and I think that we see the results of that happening already, and it has been happening for a while, you know, where the language is being lost because even in remote communities, the younger generations are shifting from the old language to a new form of the language, which sometimes can be a mix of the traditional language that their parents and grandparents may have spoken, as well as some English words, some Creole words across North Australia, and also some, you know, just generally from Aboriginal English. But there certainly is a big change going on with many of the Aboriginal languages, which were strong not that long ago. So just Aboriginal language, but Torres Strait Islander languages also, yeah.
We don't have time to go through all 145 languages, I'm sure you can appreciate it, but I might get you to help us out with a few. We might hear some of them as well. This is a language called Yolnu. We've got a little excerpt of a conversation in that for us to hear.
Okay.
Yeah, so that discussion, I'm told, is about preparing bush yarns. I, of course, would have no idea at all, but that's at least what I'm told. Tell us about Yolnu.
Well, I haven't really been that close to Yolnu language other than being around Yolnu people in Northern Australia, in Darwin and in Arnhem Land and in other places, and hearing the language on a regular basis, as you do in the top end of the Northern Territory, because a lot of Yolnu people now live in Darwin. And you hear different versions of the Yolngu language because the Yolngu language obviously was comprised of several different dialects and also some smaller clan languages. And you hear Yolngu people saying that, you know, even though Yolngu Matha is the vernacular language for most Yolngu people, it isn't necessarily the language of their clan group, and that many people express sadness at the fact that the clan group languages are falling out of use, which ultimately means they're being lost because the younger generations are not learning them as such, you know, and they're not being used as such. So that's the case in many of the language situations
But as a broad category, Yolngu is surviving reasonably well, I understand. It's got quite a lot of speakers. Why is that surviving, whereas other ones aren't?
Well, because there are still a strong pool of language speakers, Yolngu speakers, and they're very out there kind of people, the Yolngu. I mean, you hear them, you know, in lots of different public performances with, say, the Yuthi Indie Band. You hear them, you know, in lots of art exhibitions and lots of different public interface. There is a lot of Yolngu people talking to government, talking to, you know, ambassadors, talking to different people. So, and the performance side has always been really strong.
Yeah, so it's amazing how pop culture spreads an accent or a dialect. It's extraordinary. It doesn't matter which language you're talking about. That seems to be a truism. Okay, so there's Yolngu on the one hand, and then on the other hand, Bajala, which I understand has very few fluent speakers left. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Bajala is actually a language from Fraser Island in southeast Queensland, and I have some family connections to that area. It's also a language that I worked on for my master's thesis at Melbourne University, and we have recordings, you know, taped recordings, audio tape recordings of one of the last speakers of Bajala, and that has been quite a significant resource in terms of reviving the language and being able to discover what the grammar of the language was. And the grammar of that language would have applied to other languages in that language group which are no longer spoken by, no longer spoken fluently.
Yeah.
So it is a very helpful thing if you've got that to work from with a language that you're trying to revive and bring back again.
Yeah, definitely. It's at least some advantage in a very difficult task. And just one more I want to get your comments on. Let's have a listen to it first.
Ilda mane koming ngolchika rangwa ambakan presna ka rangwa nak mane komega rangwa nak.
It's called Arunda, and that's apparently a woman talking about opening a savings account in Arunda. Wouldn't have predicted that. There you go. It actually sounds quite Asian, doesn't it?
Does a little bit at the start there. Yeah. Again, Arunda is a very strong language in Central Australia. It's the main area is around the Alice Springs area, but also you have Western Arunda to the west of Alice Springs, and you have Eastern Arunda to the east, and you have Southern Arunda, and you have other languages north of Alice Springs that are also part of the Arunda family of languages. So there are still many speakers of that language, different varieties of it, and it has been taught in schools for probably a decade or more. Mostly in high schools, but I think also in some primary schools, like the Catholic Primary School, has been teaching Eastern Arunda at the Aboriginal community of Santa Teresa, which is also known as Lynchaporta.
Yeah, I can imagine that the education in schools would be a major part of any campaign to try to revive
these
languages.
It has to be, yeah. But it has to also be reinforced by family members speaking it at home, because, you know, if you're only teaching it in one context, it doesn't always reinforce what they're learning in the classroom. They have to have it outside the classroom.
Yes, and they're not going to get it through pop culture or news broadcast or whatever. Notwithstanding SBS's new Indigenous channel, I'm not sure they'll be broadcasting in some of the more critically endangered languages. But
they have been, yeah. They've been focusing a fair bit on Wiradjuri.
Oh, okay.
Which is a New South Wales language, yeah. And they've been doing some children's programs in that language and also other types of programs. They're doing their bit, which is good, because I think that's how the Maoris in New Zealand certainly promoted and used as a teaching method, you know, having it broadcast on radio and television. And we, in the Northern Territory particularly, and I'm sure in remote communities in Queensland and Western Australia and South Australia and other places, the radio is a big way of the language being broadcasted over the radio, and the singing of the language, you know.
Yes.
So that is certainly a way, one of the methods that people use to keep the language going, and hopefully people out there that are listening are the children are learning from it as well at the same time.
Let's hope so.
You need those younger generations to come through.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's the next generations are going to be the ones who have to preserve it. Thank you very much, Jeannie.
No worries.
That's Jeannie Bell, a lecturer at the Bachelor Institute of Indigenous Tertiary Education and PhD student at the ANU in Canberra.